I wouldn't say we fell in love right away. I think we were, as they call it in the biz, trauma bonding.
And then after 8 years of being insufferably sober, I started drinking again.
Addicts tend to be rather sensitive people.
Aren't you Marc Maron? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, what happened to you?
Hey, I'm Anna David. You're listening to Recover Girl. It's a podcast about addiction and recovery. I am now releasing every other week an episode called Recover Girl Goes to the Psychiatrist. Now, the information on this podcast is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. What else do I want to tell you? If you want to find out more about this podcast, go to recovergirl.biz. If you would like to subscribe to the newsletter, go to recovergirlnewsletter.com. Now, it's not just me answering questions. The name of this special episode is Recover Girl Goes to the Psychiatrist. And that is because my good friend, Dr. Josh Lichtman, is here in the house, literally in my house. Say hi.
Hi.
Now, I'm having him answer questions I've been sent over the years. If you have a question that you would like him to answer, email me, anna@annadavid.com. Now, today's question. I've heard people say that if you take any addictive medication enough, you will end up addicted to it, whether you're an addict or not. Is that true?
I don't think that that's true, actually. It's kind of a broad question, so to answer that specifically is a little tough, but, you know, there's lots of medications that have a high abuse potential or high addiction potential that if taken the right way under supervision, you're not going to get addicted to it. I mean, I prescribe medications like that pretty regularly. And as long as I'm on people about it and reminding them about the danger of it, you know, people don't get hooked on them.
Well, but a doctor doesn't follow the patient home to see when they're taking it. And so it's easy to, I know from personal experience, to lie to a doctor and say things like, I lost my bottle.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you know?
Well, I mean, ironically, nobody ever loses their Prozac. or their Zoloft. They only lose Valium and Vicodin, in my experience.
And so what
Adderall.
Do you do? You don't know that
you
they're
know,
lying.
I mean, it's one of these things, too, that it's, you know, the reason why so many of us physicians become so kind of callous and house-esque is because of the years of being lied to and having people try to manipulate us for medication and that sort of thing. And I mean, I still deal with it weekly, where people are trying to get stuff from me. And I'm pretty good at this point. I feel like I can smell the people as soon as they walk in the room, that I know what they're looking for. But, you know, back to kind of the initial thing is that, you know, inherent in a lot of these medications is abuse potential, and it varies. For example, if I'm going to give somebody a sleeping pill somebody could get addicted to, I mean, I'll be very, very conscientious about warning them. And I've had people that still get hooked on them. Mm-hmm. And I've had plenty of people who don't.
Right.
So I think I'm contradicting myself all across
the
board right
now. I think not at all. So if you're prescribing somebody Ambien, what makes you prescribe something like Ambien, which is an addictive medication, over something like Trazodone, which is non-addictive?
Well, I mean, I think that, again, it's this thing where I hope I don't sound like I'm being too esoteric, but you really have to kind of look at the whole patient for it and understand. I mean, and to really try to look and see what would be the best thing for somebody, what's going to make the most sense for them in the context of their lives, i.e., I really try to avoid giving anything with addictive potential to somebody with a history of abuse. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't a time and a place that I won't give somebody that.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, if, you know, there are certain things, like, for example, if you have a history of alcoholism, you have a higher likelihood of getting hooked on a benzodiazepine, of like a Xanax or a Valium. Now, a higher potential than somebody who doesn't have a history of alcoholism.
Right, of course, yeah.
But then there's different things. You know, you take people, you know, like, let's say you have a history of opiate addiction. Maybe you don't really like benzodiazepines or stimulants or other psychiatric medications, and therefore you would never misuse it or abuse it or get hooked on something. It's tricky, though. It's really tricky.
Well, and So what do you say if you're prescribing someone Ambien and you say, because actually I can speak about this from experience, the psychiatrist said, take it as needed. Well, I felt like I needed it every night to sleep.
Yeah. So that's one of those things that ends up being really tricky. And as needed doesn't mean take it every night for the most part. You know, instead it should say, don't take this unless you really need it, mm-hmm. you know, quite often. I mean, there's some PRN or asthma medications that you can take all the time and it's not a big deal.
What's PRN?
PRN is the Latin for, you know, I'm not sure what it stands for, but it ultimately means as needed for.
Mm-hmm.
And so a PRN medication is something that, yeah, you know, you can take one tablet PRN, you know, or one tab daily PRN anxiety. So one tablet daily is needed for anxiety, but there's lots of medications that the prescription's written that way, but it really should say, don't take this every day.
Right.
You know, you can take this a few times a week if you need to, but if you take this every day, you're going to quite possibly get hooked on it. And that would probably be a very busy prescription label.
Right, right.
But there's really, you know, I try to be very, very upfront with people of like, do not take this more than you need to. And, you know, again, it's hard because you're dealing with this variable, which is the human brain.
Now, you as a psychiatrist would never be in a position where you're prescribing someone OxyContin, right?
Since, no.
Right, because that's only...
I get asked for it.
Right. And there's literally no reason
that
you would ever...
No, there's no reason I should have to.
Right.
I mean, you know, I'm a licensed physician with the DEA number and all that stuff, and I theoretically could, but I shouldn't be.
And that's considered the most widely addictive medication out there?
I don't know about that. I mean, I know that right now, from my experience, I would say that opiates are our biggest problem right now. But that comes in all shapes and sizes.
Right. The problem, you mean?
Yeah. Meaning that, you know, there's a lot of different opiates or types of opiates or prescription opiates or Craigslist opiates or however.
Don't give them any ideas.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, thank you, Dr. Lichtman. If you've been listening to Recover Girl Goes to the Psychiatrist, I wanted to ask if people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
They should probably go to refugerecoverycenters.com.
Yeah, and there's a bio and you can't see how many tattoos you have in that bio.
I think it's an old picture.
Tattoo-less picture?
I don't know. I should find one.
He's got tattoos all over his face. That's not true. I was kidding.
Yeah, I mean, that would be really impressive.
So if you want to find out more about this podcast, go to recovergirl.biz, and Josh and I will talk to you soon.